Time to take a look around the National Football League, and helping us to do that today is Jared Bell, longtime NFL writer for USA Today. Jared, welcome to the show.
Pretty good, Vic, with emphasis on the long time.
That's what everybody says to me too, Jared. And I'm you know, I was going to take it personally. I think they mean it as a compliment, but sometimes I just think they mean it that I'm old.
Well, that and experienced and wise and all of that. But you know, I say that because, you know, you think that you've been around this game for so long and you've seen it and documented it and, you know, all of the different eras that we've been witness to,
right.
And I don't know if we've seen anything like this season, just in terms of, you know, obviously all the passing numbers and whatnot. But
what's jumping out at you?
I think that's it. Where, you know, there's have been these fundamental changes that we've seen coming, you know, over the years with the, you know, the passing games and the rules, etc. But it just seems to be even more pronounced now. And I think we saw it last weekend. I mean, a team without a quarterback is pretty much done. It used to be you can have a good running back and a dominant running game and defense and still have that as your ticket. But I don't know if that's good anymore. I think it's great to have it, and you want to have balance, but
right.
You've got to be able to throw the football around. And these wild swings in the games where a team is up by like 14 or 17 points and the game is pretty much over, that's the way we've seen it for so many years, that's not the case anymore either. So
no.
I think some of those things jump out at me about this season.
Well, the marquee game to look at, I guess, this week, New England Patriots versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people may be looking at that as the game that will determine or a preview of AFC Championship, or the winner of that maybe emerging as the AFC, ultimately the team that will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. How are you looking at it, Jared?
I think you could say that it's still so early in the season to project it to be that definite, but it's a possibility. But here's the thing, Vic. I think if Pittsburgh wins this game, if they're able to win, they're going to have to be able to throw the football. And it goes back to what I was saying a couple minutes ago. You know, the Steelers' ticket used to be, you know, run the ball down your throat, play tough defense, and if you can do it again, yeah, that's fine. But they've opened up their offense so much that that's a real, you know, dangerous dimension of their team. And, you know, matching up against the Patriots, you know, it's a Bill Belichick defense that has, you know, given up so many yards, especially through the air. So that's a different take than what we've been used to in these matchups. They played last year, and it was a big shootout. I forget the final score. I think it was like 39-32 or something like that. So, you know, figure. Steelers and Patriots, it has to be a shootout, I think, for whoever, you know, whoever's going to win it.
Yeah, I would have to go along with you. And like you say, so different kinds of teams in some respects. And there was some talk that maybe the Steeler defense just getting a little older and maybe not looking as sharp as it did. But they look like they're going to be right there.
Yeah, and the big thing that's jumped out so far about them has been, well, a couple things, actually. I mean, people have been able to run the football on the Steelers.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, it started on opening weekend with Ray Rice. We saw it in their other loss this year at Houston, where Arian Foster goes for, like, you know, 155 yards on him. So here I'm talking about, yeah, you can't run the ball and have that as a ticket, but, you know, it can still be so effective. And when you look at the Steelers, that's been a big difference. And the other thing with their defense has been the lack of takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Steelers had 30-something takeaways last year. I think right now they've got just three. And that's almost unheard of from a Steelers defense.
Another big game this weekend, of course, marquee is NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles. Do you think the Eagles have righted their ship enough, number one? And number two, where do you see the Cowboys going into this one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is such a pivotal game. And, you know, we try to do our weekly picks, and I had a tough time trying to figure out who I think should win this game. The one thing about the Eagles that gives you hope if you're an Eagles fan is that, you know, they've got big play guys all over the place, especially on their offense, right? And the games that they lost, they had a chance to win them. So it wasn't like they just got blown out, obviously. It was, you know, they blew leads and et cetera.
Right.
But their defense is still a big question, and I think that's the thing that's going to really determine whether or not they can beat the Cowboys, because the Cowboys And now they've got a running back, DeMarco Murray, the rookie of the week, okay?
Right,
right. Get running for 253 yards. Now, that was against St. Louis's worst-ranked rushing defense, but still in all, the Cowboys needed somebody to step up, Felix Jones being out, and they found that in Murray. But just getting back to what I was saying about the Eagles, you know, the Cowboys have a productive offense. They have had for a long time, and you know, if Tony Romo doesn't have the turnover problems in a couple of those games, you know, those are two W's that they could have had. So it's going to be a big test for Philadelphia.
Jared Bell from USA Today joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we go around the NFL. Interesting game in the AFC West, Chargers, Chiefs. What are we to make of the Chiefs turning themselves around after a real horrendous start and seeming to get a little traction? And I guess what are we to make of this San Diego team that, you know, looks to be, I mean, after blowing that lead against the Jets, a lot of questions about them.
Yeah, I think let's start with the Chargers. The thing that's different about them, I mean, they've got pretty much the same makeup as they've had, you know, during this run over the past few years, okay? But Phillip Rivers is not playing as effectively, as efficiently as we've become used to. And I think that's a question. I don't know if it's just that he's pressing, if he's just not as sharp as we've known him to be, but the numbers certainly don't show it. And, you know, you lose Antonio Gates for much of the season. I mean, he came back last week. He's practiced this week, so they think he's going to get over the hump with his foot problem. But, I mean, that's a big thing to take away from Phillip Rivers, because when you've got Gates in the mix, you can do other things. And so I think the Chargers can be okay if they're healthy. On the other hand, Kansas City, you're right, they've righted their ship. They've won three in a row, regardless of who they played. They've won three in a row, and they're right back in this division picture.
Yep.
I saw them last week play against Oakland. I wasn't totally impressed with Kansas City in terms of thinking that they're going to really take this thing a long way, because you think of the people that they don't have, the guys who got injured, you know, Eric Berry, who made the Pro Bowl as a rookie last year, and Jamal Charles in the running game. But still in all, when you've got a quarterback who can take care of the football, and Matt Castle can do that at times. See, 2 weeks ago he had his best game in months, you know, going back to early last season. Then he follows that up with a so-so game at Oakland. So if they can get some consistency from Matt Castle, they still have a couple playmakers they can work with, one being Dwayne Bowe.
Jared, do you expect any coaching casualty before the year is over? It appears, of course, the two hottest seats would be those belonging to Tony Sperano in Miami, winless Dolphins, and Jim Caldwell with the Colts. Dolphins facing the Giants this weekend, Colts taking on Tennessee. What are you expecting with those situations?
Yeah. You know, Sperano, this goes back to last season and the off season, and I guess you look at it and you say, if they're going to do something, you know, why not do it if you're going to do it at some point? But it's still so early in the season.
House up for sale.
Yeah, exactly. I heard about that this week. So it does not look good for Tony Sperano. Jim Caldwell, on the other hand, you almost feel for him, because you lose Peyton Manning and you know things are not going to be the same. But it just seems like it's getting worse and worse by the week. And you can't put all that on Peyton Manning. You have to adjust when you have a major loss. Remember the Patriots, of 3 years ago or whatever it was, when Tom Brady got hurt? I mean, they won 10 games that year.
Right.
And so it can never be about just one guy. But I think what we've seen through all of this is that, you know, for all of the other debate over the years, you know, no player was as valuable to their team as Peyton Manning. So now here's the question with Jim Caldwell. And they've got other players who are in the last year of their contracts that they're going to have to either re-sign or, you know, make a decision on one way or the other. Reggie Wayne, Robert Mathis, Dallas Clark, Jeff Saturday. I mean, you know, pillar players for them. So if you're going to make moves on those guys and not bring them back, and they probably won't make those decisions until way later or, you know, after the season, whatever, then I think Jim Caldwell affects that. But there's just so much that they've got to decide on where they're going to go as an organization. And, hey, what if they end up getting a number one pick and Andrew Luck is sitting out there? I mean, who would have thought you even would think about, you know, with Peyton Manning still having some mileage left, we think, if he comes back healthy, that you'd be talking about this.
Jared, great stuff, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us, my friend.
Okay, Vic, appreciate you having me.
One of the very best in the business, Jared Bell from USA Today, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.